intentional things that we have to do to best to move.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, the community circles and, you know, those conversations that take place, which are sort of guided conversations with many different people around the table and giving people the around the inner circle, but giving people sort of the space to say yes. and express things that they might be too shy or uncomfortable to do in other settings.
Exactly. It offers you the opportunity to learn how to become authentic because you're hearing other people and it gives you permission to be brave.
Yes, yes, because this requires courage, not just intentionality, but to be brave. And as we just, you were there. We just did the talk with, you were, I don't know if you were back yet, but we were just, as we just celebrated Martin Luther King, commemorated his life. And we did the program at the library. One of the overarching topics was that, you know, you have to be brave. It's not just, you know, just a thing that you can say, especially in this time period. And our grandfathers, you know, they had to be very vocal and they fought for the rights of all of us. And we're standing on their shoulders and they fought knowing that many of them would be hurt or killed as a result of speaking up against injustice.
Yeah.
So with all that being said, now let's talk about your trip to Africa. Tell me, all right, why you went, how you went, where you went.
No, but I like what you just said about people being brave about that kind of stuff, because now there's ways of us working together and we don't have to, it's not the same thing of putting your neck on the line like that. It's being willing to be open. It's being willing to sit in a circle and take your time. Now it's a matter of being willing to take the time and hear what's called of you to do.
Absolutely.
Now people won't take the time. Now people are too busy. And so now people just don't even take the time to find out what's necessary.
You're right. And that's one of the things I was underscoring. Like, you know, people go to protests and they do different things. But I think, as you mentioned, like the atmosphere is different. You can go and you might be uncomfortable. But, you know, when in the 60s and the 70s, when the Freedom Riders and the people that stood up, all of the civil rights people stood up and talked. This was life threatening. They would sick dogs on you. They would hit you with billy clubs. They would jail you. I mean, these and it wasn't like a kind of a maybe it could happen. It probably would happen. So you went to these events knowing that harm could definitely come to you, but they did it not just for themselves, but they did it for the future generation. And now we have to honor that and be just as persistent in fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, and the threats are real. There's different kinds of threats now. There's money threats. You can lose your luxury.
Yes.
And have to live base. That could actually happen. But it's another world.
It is, and you know, as Dr. King said, and I'm gonna, you know, I hesitated because I didn't want to, because I'm not gonna get this quote exactly right. But part of what he says is not. You know, it's where when you have to give up, you know, when your real strength and character comes out, when you're threatened with giving up your life, your liberty, and all the conveniences that you have. Because when you're fighting against systemic racism, people will come against you and it will threaten all of those things because you've spoken up. You know, you can lose your job, you can lose your status or whatever, and you have to be able to forego that for the greater good.
Yeah. And here in Columbia County, they haven't even gotten that far yet, I don't think. I think now it's just the good old boys club. You have to be willing to look bad in your club.
Yes, yes. You can't, you know, status isn't important as, you know, stepping up, and it does take courage. But I do feel like there are people that are changing. It is not moving nearly as fast. as it should or as it could or as it will. But the more that people step up and be feel accountable and be part of the solution, you know, it's not just complaining about what somebody else is doing. But I always say, you know, you be the change you want to see. You get out there and do the things like your kids are doing. If you want people to know the history, make put it in their face. This is your history. This is what we did. This is what happened before. What are you going to do to move forward?
And back those programs. Back it when you see somebody doing something like that. Then you back that. Back it with your effort. Back it with whatever you got to
with your money. With. Prioritize it with your time and your money.
Yeah, whatever you have to back it with.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah. So... but I want to move to your trip to Africa because
Gambia, and it is true worth to be talking about that. Like my sister says, people have the wrong impression of Africa because it's even the bush. But when I went to Africa, when I stepped off the plane, man, it was just like a different atmosphere.
Okay,
it really was. I think that I felt a healing in stepping off. But the idea is everyone that I met, it was an extreme welcoming attitude. It's like, your home, sister, your home. Everybody wanted us to feel at home. It was a delicious feeling. Even the people who didn't have a lot still wanted us to feel to be, never to go. To stay there, never to go home.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people. That's all.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, the regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Seems to take me out of my mind. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library. I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here this week to talk about some books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish.
And bookish things.
That's true. That's what we do.
As always.
Whoops. We lost Georgia. Who wants to get us started today? How about Fatia? What did you have to share with us?
I have like this book, a Christmas one.
Oh, we're going through the holidays.
Yeah.
Nice. I think you have a Halloween and a Thanksgiving book that you've shared with us already. And I think an Eid book too.
Yeah, I think I did.
Nice. So what can you tell us about this book? So it's a book you've made.
Yeah. Chapter 1. On Christmas, people celebrate something like giving presents on Christmas Day, which Santa does, and having fun. People also eat food like a roast turkey, turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy, and green beans. Sometimes people also celebrate by putting a Christmas tree and decorating it. And that's the end. And I also like wrote some of this. The first recorded date of Christmas being celebrated on December 25 in 336 BCE during the time of the Roman Empire. It's now a public holiday in many parts of the world. And that's the end.
Nice. Like these little intros to the holidays that you do.
Yeah.
People have all different ways of celebrating holidays. One of our favorite ones is, so on the tree, we have a special ornament that is a glass, like a shiny glass pickle. And somebody hides the pickle ornament on the tree. And then we all try to find it first, and whoever finds it gets a prize. Although when my sister moved abroad, she packed up all of the Christmas ornaments and stored them away. So then when we started celebrating at different places, wherever we met up with her, I decided to get a new ornament that we could do that with. So I got a Brussels sprout. So it's a glass Brussels sprout. It's the most beautiful Brussels sprout you've ever seen. It's really fun.
Yeah, like a lot of people, like I saw like a lot of my classmates told me that they like they hide like the ornament and they have to find it. And I think it's from like Jewish people, maybe.
That your friends that do that, you think they're Jewish?
Yeah, some Jewish people do that at Christmas time.
Oh, well, I know that. So I'm half Jewish. And so I know that maybe what you're thinking of is as like a Jewish tradition. Not all families do this, but I know my family does. On Hanukkah, when we have Hanukkah dinner, sometimes like the oldest in the family, usually like grandparents, my grandparents, this is like a grandparents family tradition. Usually someone goes and like hides the matzah, and then the kids have to go and find it and they get a present.
Do you do that on Hanukkah or Passover?
Oh, Passover. Sorry.
I was like, you do that on Hanukkah too. That's cool.
I'm sorry. I'm really tired. I've had a long, long day and I lost like 2 hours of sleep last night. I could hardly keep my eyes open all day. I'm so tired.
That is a really fun part of Passover though. And I get, so we often have hosted Passover. And so I'm tasked with hiding the afikoman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I always get really nervous that someone's going to see me get up with it and go to hide it. And I get really nervous about it. I'm always really anxious about it. I'm like, how am I going to do this? Where am I going to hide it? And then nobody ever notices. It helps that they have something they're reading in front of them. And I get up a lot to like check on the food. So, but it's really fun. I like when holidays can throw in a little hide and seek, you know? Cool. Well, I love seeing your books. I wish our radio listeners could see the pictures, but alas, they cannot. So Georgia, what did you want to talk about today?
So I am reading I finished it just a few days ago. It's a book called The Apothecary. I don't know how to pronounce it. The Apothecary, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to read the description because I have so much to say about this book that I don't need a description. But it is so good. I just finished it and I am currently reading the sequel, which is pretty good so far. But the first book is so good. basically, it's about the main character named Janie, who moves from Hollywood to England, and she meets this boy named Benjamin. She moved from Hollywood because her parents were being followed and accused of being communists. So they were being like followed by the government. And so they moved to London, and she meets this boy at school named Benjamin, and his dad is an apothecary, which is like a basically a like British pharmacist. And so then the apothecary is kidnapped. And so then Benjamin and Janie go on this huge, exciting adventure. And yeah, it's so, 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 so good. And yeah, and I'm on the second book. Something really interesting about the book, though, it's at the end, but it's not going to really spoil much. It's just, so Benjamin gives Janie a like potion. So her memory, she'll lose her memory of everything that happened in the book. So in the end of the first book and the beginning of the second book, she's sort of slowly figuring out what's going on. And it's so interesting. And something else cool about it is the first book is told in first person from Janie, and the second book is told like from Janie's perspective. I just got onto the part two, which is actually from Benjamin's perspective, because they're separated, but I won't spoil it much further. It's so good though. Totally would recommend. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
I do not know who it is by.
It's Maloy. I don't know if I'd say their first name right, but M-A-I-L-E, I think. Maloy.
Yes, that's it. Did you look it up already?
I think last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever I last saw you, you mentioned that you had just started it.
Oh, yeah.
And well, I had forgotten who wrote it, but I remember when that first came out and it got a lot of really great reviews. I've never read it, but it's a good sign when you dive straight into the second book.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you were going to read more of the series, but then you told me.
My English teacher, she recommended it to me. So you know who you are if you're listening, but you probably won't be, because you probably won't be happening to listen to this radio program right now, because you would have no way to know that I am on it. Mwahaha.
You could tell them.
They could
listen to it on the website.
That's true.
Not on the radio.
That is true. I honestly don't like to tell people. I like to be like, have this secret. Be my sort of secret. Yeah, it's
your
like
secret club.
Yes, it's like my little secret thing. And I like to just be mysterious about it with my friends. And so if they ask, like, why can't you come over today? I'll be like, I have a thing. And they're like, what thing? I'm like, a thing, just
a thing.
A little after school thing. I like to keep it mysterious.
Just hanging out with the librarian and my other friends.
Yep,
that's it.
Just on the radio all day.
Well, I don't have a recent read to share today because two things. One is I've been spending most of my reading time reading a book called Great Women Painters, which I mentioned on the show before, which is a really cool coffee table style, like big format art book that highlights, I forget how many, but hundreds of women painters from across time, around the world. And it's really interesting. You get like a little blurb about them and a sample of their artwork, just one painting each. Except for in the case of, there was one artist so far where they had multiple works because the artist was a miniaturist. So they painted these tiny, tiny paintings, mostly on ivory, which was fashionable and not deemed awful at the time. But for that, they showed multiple miniatures. But most of them, it's one painting. And but I've been having fun with each artist. I look them up online to see other works. And for contemporary artists or artists who have active foundations, I've been following them on social media so that I can have access to more of their work over time. Maybe see if they have any special exhibits in places that are accessible to me. So I highly suggest that book. I think it just came out last year. Found it on a best like recent art books list and decided to check it out. It's really good. So I've been spending most of my time reading that when I have reading time. But last night I was like, I'm going to read a graphic novel because I have a pile of graphic novels to read. I was like, I'm going to read one that I can talk about on the show. And most of the ones I had were adult ones. And I found one that had the word young on the call number. And I was like, oh, I should read this one because it's a young adult graphic novel. And I read it and I was like, that's weird that they put this in the young adult section. It's rated mature and it seems like it has more adult content than you would usually have in like a teen collection. And then just this morning, I realized that it's not young adult. The author's name is Scotty Young. So I'm not going to talk about that book. But for adult readers out there, it's called The Me You Love in the Dark. And it's a ghost story, haunted house ghost story featuring an artist who rents a place to kind of get away from the hustle and bustle of the city and go find some inspiration and create some new art for an upcoming show. And they find out the house is haunted and they're like, perfect. And then they end up meeting the thing that haunts the house and forming a complex relationship with that creature. Wasn't my favorite graphic novel, but I think I was describing it to my husband this morning and he was like, oh, it sounds like something Amelia might like, who's our resident graphic novel horror fan. So if Amelia's listening, she might want to check it out. But it's not a young adult graphic novel. Horror. You are a resident graphic novel fan, but she's a resident horror graphic novel fan.
True.
But so what I wanted to share today is some new releases. We just got a lovely package of young adult fiction today, and I thought I would share the descriptions for those. Two of the ones we got today, I've already mentioned the descriptions as books that I was excited for that were coming out. So I'm only going to share the other ones that came. But the ones that came out that I'd already shared were The Love Match by Priyanka Taslim and For Lamb by Lisa Klein Ransom. So I will read the descriptions for these because I have not read them yet. So the first one I'll mention is called We Are All So Good at Smiling, and it's by Amber McBride, who was a National Book Award finalist for their book Moth. And this is a novel in verse, which I know you all know, and maybe our listeners know. I love a good novel in verse. Here's the description for that. Whimsy is back in the hospital for treatment of clinical depression when she meets a boy named Fairy. She recognizes they both have magic in the marrow of their bones. After they are released, Fairy and his family move to the same neighborhood as Whimsy. The two friends come to realize that their lifelines may have twined and untwined many times before. They are both terrified of the forest at the end of Marsh Creek Lane. The forest whispers to Whimsy. The forest might hold the answers to the part of Fairy he feels is missing. They discover that the forest holds monsters, fairy tales, and pain that they have both been running from for the past 11 years. And soon they understand that the only way out is through. Here is a harrowing and soulful novel in verse about depression, friendship, fairy tales, and how we are never as alone as we believe we are. I'm very much looking forward to reading this one. It sounds like it could be have its tough moments, but also be beautiful and moving. And then I don't know if it's because Valentine's Day is coming up, but there's a whole bunch of love-related stories. So the next one I'll share is Highly Suspicious and Unfairly Cute by Talia Hibbert. And she's the author of Get a Life, Chloe Brown, which is a very popular book. And here is the description. Bradley Graham is pretty much perfect. He's a star football player, manages his OCD well enough, and comes out on top in all his classes, except the ones he shares with Selena Bengora. They used to be best friends until Brad decided he was too cool for conspiracy theory obsessed Celine and literally abandoned her for the popular kids table. At least that's how Celine sees it. These days, there's nothing between them but insults and academic rivalry. Officially, Brad hates her guts, and the feeling is very mutual. So when Celine signs up for a two-part survival course in the woods, the last thing she expects is to find Brad right beside her. Forced to work as a team for the chance to win the grand prize, Celine and Bradley must trudge through not just mud and dirt, but their messy past. As this adventure brings them closer together, they start to remember all the good parts of their history. But has too much time passed, or just enough to spark a whole new kind of relationship? Bestselling author Talia Hibbert's debut YA rom-com delivers a cheeky laugh-out-loud story about a quirky content creator and a clean-cut athlete testing their abilities to survive the great outdoors and each other. I've never heard of a survival course in the woods. I think I would have been into that as a kid, maybe, depending on the year and what happens in the survival course. But that sounds really fun. different change of pace from the previous one. Then next up, we have Friday, I'm in Love by Cameron Garrett. And this book arrived today, and I just...
I love that song so much.
I got the song in my head, and I was like, why is this song in my head? There must have been a book that came in that was called that. And then I checked, and it was, in fact, that. I just glanced at it and got the song in my head. So here's the description for this one. Mahalia Harris wants. She wants a big, sweet 16 like her best friend Naomi. She wants the super cute new girl, Siobhan, to like her back. She wants a break from worrying about money, snide remarks from white classmates, pitying looks from church ladies, all of it. Then inspiration strikes. It's too late for a sweet 16, but what if she had a coming out party? A singing, dancing, rainbow cake eating celebration of queerness on her own terms. The idea lights a fire in her, and soon Mahalia is scrimping and saving, taking on extra hours at her after-school job, trying on dresses, and awkwardly flirting with Siobhan, all in preparation for the coming out of her dreams. But it's not long before she's buried in a mountain of bills, unfinished schoolwork, and enough drama to make her English lit teacher blush. With all that responsibility on her shoulders, Mahalia wonders if her party will be over before it's even begun. A love letter to romantic comedies, sweet 16 blowouts, black joy, and queer pride, Friday I'm in Love is a novel about finding yourself, falling in love, and celebrating what makes you you. And the cover has confetti on it. Woo!
Woo! Pretty. That sounds so
and
good,
and a really
though?
Pretty dress.
That sounds so good, though. Is that young adults? Or
yes.
Cool. I will make sure to read that. Just
yeah, that sounds
just
really great.
To plug my device in. Okay. But I just want to say, I love the song, Friday I'm in Love. And I think that's a great book title. And I can't believe some.